Good morning and welcome to worship at Greystone Online. Greystone is a place where all are welcome. Doesn't matter who you are or what you do professionally or in your spare time, we believe that there is a place for you to belong here, and we believe that we are better when we all gather together in whatever way that we can to worship God and to lift our voices in prayer, in song, in liturgy, and to open our hearts through the movement of God's Spirit. Today is the fifth Sunday of the season of Lent, a season in which we at Greystone are thinking about our fears, the things which cause fear in our lives, and how we might use faith as a tool to survive those fears. And this year it has been a very appropriate theme for us as our whole world has been impacted by the coronavirus, a global pandemic which has stopped life as we know it and caused us to find new rhythms of connection, new means of worshiping together, and new ways to gather near to one another. And so today we worship online, and we're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us in this kind of digital space. If you'd like to join us in prayer, there is a digital prayer request form that you could fill out and submit, or you could simply email us at office@greystonechurch.org. We want to know what's on your hearts and minds as we go to God in prayer this week. So before we get too far down the road with our worship today, let's go to God in prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Shape us and mold us and make us into the followers, the disciples of you that we so want to become. God, replace our fears with faith that you are in control and that you are with us every single step of the way, no matter what comes. God, as we come to you this day, we ask that you open us heart and mind, body and soul to the movement of your Holy Spirit, however it chooses to blow. God, your people are here. We are waiting, and we have come to worship you this day. Draw near to us as we draw near to you.
With all creation, I sing praise to the King. filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Good morning, friends. I've really missed seeing you and having you sit down front with me for our children's messages. Today, I want to talk to you. I'm here in my front yard with my daughter, and we are happy to see you this morning. Our Bible scripture for this morning is about Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was kind of in a really sad time. Instead of being stuck in his house, he was forced to leave his house. And he and all of his friends had gone through a lot of really sad times. Maybe a little bit like we're in right now, where we can't do the things that we're used to doing, and we can't go to school, and we can't go play our sports or go to dance classes. We can't even get together for church. So Ezekiel might have been feeling kind of what we're feeling right now. I want to do something that might help us through that just a little bit. So I want you to go get a piece of paper and some markers or colored pencils or crayons.
And if you need to go get those paws.
She said push pause if you need to. We'll be back in just a second.
If you're ready, then play.
Push play. All right. Now that you have your paper and your pencils or crayons, I want you to take that piece of paper, and on one side, I want you to write, "Oh no." So go ahead and write it for me. Write, "Oh no." Mm-hmm. Yeah, anywhere you want on the piece of paper. It doesn't have to look like mine. So you write that, or get mom and dad or someone in your house to help you. And on that side of the paper, I want you to write or draw pictures of things that are kind of, oh no, for you. Like for me, oh no might be that I don't get to go into work, or that my kids don't get to go to school, or oh no for me might just be that I really want to go out to dinner with my friends, but I can't right now. What is one of your oh no's?
One of my oh no's is that I just want mine is that I'm worried about like my family and friends.
Oh yeah, you're worried about your family and friends. What are some of your oh no's? Go ahead and write them or draw a picture. Okay. On the other side of your paper, I want you to write the word hope. When Ezekiel was in that really sad time, and he was outside, and he was in a valley filled with dry bones, and he was looking around, and everything looked sad and maybe a little bit scary. God spoke to him, and God said, "You know what? I can bring all of this back to life, and I can make things good again." And so God started doing what God does, and God made it better. And Ezekiel looked around, and things weren't quite right yet. And God said, you need to speak breath into them. Speak life into them. So on your piece of paper that says hope, I want you to write things that you hope for or draw a picture. So for me, one of the things that I hope for is to see my family again soon. My family that doesn't live in my house. I want to see them again soon. Some other things that I think about when I think about hope are some of the good things I've seen people do. Like one of our sweet church members left some cookies on my front doorstep and they were so tasty. Or how I get to say hello to neighbors. Some of them, I've never even met them before, but we see each other when we go for walks. And that's been a really good place of hope for me. What are some things that you hope for?
I hope for the coronavirus to stop so I can go see my friends at school that I can't see. And my friends at church that I can't see.
Yeah, you hope that the virus stops so that you get to go see friends at school and church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know, I hope that too. One of the things I thought would be really cool is after you write some of your things of hope and some words of hope on your piece of paper, I wonder if your family, yes, share it with us, that's right. I think you can share it with us on Instagram and on Facebook or have mom or dad text it to me. That would be really cool too. But I also thought we could say words of encouragement like, we've got this, or write the word love, or write the word joy, or hope, or any of those words, anything that you think is a feel-good word, write it on big pieces of paper and put it in the windows of your house. And then when your neighbors are taking their walks, because, you know, we're all taking lots of walks right now, when your neighbors take their walks, they get to see those words, and it gives them hope, too. So it's a way for us to share our hope with our neighbors. Just like Ezekiel, you can write it on a piece of paper, right? And then I want you to write it really big and put it in your windows so that your whole neighborhood can see it when they walk by, okay? Now, just like God told Ezekiel to speak hope into that sad situation, we can speak hope into our world too. And I hope that you will join me in that. Can you take a minute and pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for being with us, even in this time. As we sit outside this morning, I can hear the birds singing and I can feel the sun on my face, and I know that you are here. Help us remember that when we're sad or scared or lonely. Help us, just like Ezekiel, to be a voice of hope and encouragement to those we see, whether we see them on a walk or whether we're putting words up in our windows and on our doors of our homes. Help us to share hope and joy and encouragement with those around us. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for being here, and I hope to see you again soon.
As we continue to worship today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear loving God, today we come to worship you. As the psalmist taught us, we enter your gates with thanksgiving and we enter your courts with praise. We give you thanks and we praise your name, Lord, for you are good and your love, your mercy endures forever. Your faithfulness continues to all generations. We thank you for your congregation at Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, and for our Christian brothers and sisters who worship you today throughout our nation and our world. We praise you for the breath of life this day and for each future day that you grant to us. And we are grateful for those who came before us in the faith, for that great cloud of witnesses. And we offer our prayers for those who will come after us. We ask today for your vision as we run the race that is set before us. For today, we come to you as a people facing a worldwide health emergency like none of us have ever seen before. We are scared, lonely, separated, and frustrated. Some of us come seeking your patience as we learn to homeschool our children. Some seek your guidance as we learn new skills in order to do our jobs in different ways. Some seek your provision as we try to make ends meet after losing our source of income. Some seek your comfort as we learn to live without the physical presence of coworkers, friends, family members, and other loved ones. Some seek your healing touch as we face sickness in an era where disease is overwhelming the available medical resources. And some come grieving loved ones who are no longer with us in this life. Lord, we pray for our church congregation, for its ministries, and for its missions. And we also pray for other churches in our city, county, state, and nation, and for those across the globe as we face new challenges and overwhelming need. We pray for our governing leaders, local, state, national, and international. We ask that you give them your guidance and wisdom as they make decisions that affect many. Lord, as some of us have additional time at home now, we pray that we not squander this opportunity to spend more time with loved ones, to build upon the relationships we value most, to appreciate your creation around us, to deepen our daily walk with you, and to refocus our priorities as needed. And finally, God, we offer these personal prayers in this moment of silence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, the Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them, and there were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." And then he said to me, "Prophesy to the bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you. I will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and the flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come up from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act. This is what the Lord has said. And may God add understanding to the reading of this lesson. Thanks be to God.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing. And I know he watches.
There's been a lot of chatter about resurrection this week, and it's coming from all sorts of unlikely places. You see, normally resurrection is a word relegated to religious circles, mostly around Easter time. When we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ after he's been in the tomb for 3 days. Liturgically, though, it is still a little bit early for us to be proclaiming resurrection, as Christians around the world are still deep in the throes of Lent. You see, as much as we want to claim resurrection, the truth is, it isn't Easter yet. It isn't Easter yet, and we are not finished with the season of Lent, or perhaps I should say that the season of Lent isn't quite finished with us yet. It's week 5 of the season of Lent, and at Greystone, that means it is week 5 of our exploration of our fears. It's week 5 of our journey toward faith to pull us through no matter what we are afraid of. It's also week 3 of our experiment of social distancing, and we are beginning week 1 with a stay-home order. You see, there's a popular meme going around right now on social media that says the following. Honestly, I hadn't planned on giving up quite this much for Lent. And I think we can all identify with that statement. We might have agreed or intentionally given up things like cable news or alcohol. We might have agreed or taken on something new like a quiet time every morning or a moment, a rhythm of intentional prayer and meditation. Those were the things we agreed to, but I'm willing to bet that none of us imagined giving up quite so much for Lent. I imagine that a few weeks ago when we made our Lenten commitments, nobody said that they were going to give up their trips to the hair salon or socializing with folks outside of their immediate families or gathering in our sanctuary to worship God. None of us could have imagined we would give up so much in this season of Lent. This season is unlike any other. And so it's no wonder that so many of us, all of us, are tempted to rush to resurrection. You see, fear is exhausting. Distance from our friends and our extended family is unsettling. It is uncomfortable. The constant influx of news is disturbing, and the unending sense that things are only going to get worse, it has our bodies on high alert 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There is no rest in this Lenten wilderness. It's no wonder we want to get ourselves out of these kinds of situations as quickly as possible. It's no wonder we want to know when it will end. It's no wonder we are constantly searching for the light at the end of the tunnel. It's no wonder we want to skip over whatever happens next and rush our ways to resurrection. But here on the 5th Sunday of the season of Lent, we have to recognize it isn't Easter yet. The church calendar will have us wait 2 more weeks before we get to the end of this spiritual journey, this spiritual wilderness. And it looks like it's going to be even longer than that before we reach the end of our other wilderness called COVID-19. This week, the lectionary provides a hauntingly appropriate text for our first Sunday of the Wake County stay-at-home order. The scripture from the prophet Ezekiel is one that was written from the wilderness of the Babylonian exile after the destruction of the Jerusalem temple. The people have watched as their kinfolk died and they were forced out of their homes. They watched as their houses of worship, their beloved temple, was destroyed. No longer could they go home. No longer could they gather together in their sacred spaces. No longer could they worship in their sanctuary. The whole book of Ezekiel points toward the prophet's vision that the people will once again be together on their land, worshiping in their temple. And today's verses from chapter 37 are filled with imagery that seems to be made for Hollywood and that reminds us of Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. As Ezekiel, the main character is seized by the Spirit of the Lord and set down in the middle of the valley full of dry bones. The bones were many, enough to fill up the whole valley, and as the prophet sat and gazed upon them, he could see that they had been there for quite a while. The text says that they were dry and brittle. Like Ebenezer Scrooge gazing upon scenes from his past, present, and future, the prophet Ezekiel must gaze out upon these bones, and then he must somehow muster a response when the Lord asks him, "Can these bones live?" Now he knows better than to express any confidence or despair, and so he responds in faith, saying, "Lord, only you know." And then the prophet is called by God to speak over the bones a word of hope for a future, even in this valley of death. "Tell them," says the Lord, "tell those bones that I will lay sinews upon them. I will wrap them in flesh, and I will cause breath to enter them, and they shall live." Ezekiel follows these divine instructions, and he faithfully begins to speak those life-giving words, even in the valley of death. Surely, there is a noise. As soon as he opens his mouth, there is a noise, and the bones begin to rattle as they come back together. Soon, those dead and dry bones are connected with sinews and flesh, but even as the bones come together, there is no life. There's no breath in them. Once the prophet began to speak, the bones did what they knew to do. They began to come back together, to snap into those old rhythms of connection. It felt like resurrection, but it wasn't quite resurrection yet. In recent days and weeks, we have begun to understand the valley of dry bones in whole new ways. For the first time in many of our lifetimes, we are watching and waiting for a virus for which there is no immunity. There is no cure. There is no vaccine. We just have to wait. Wait for the virus to come and to run its course. Shopping centers and restaurants and gyms, playgrounds, and even churches that were once full of life, full of our rhythms of daily connection, those things that were connected in intricate social and economic webs, they have all closed down, making our communities feel like a valley of dried up dead bones. And so we sit by and we worry and we ask ourselves, can these bones ever live? Of course, we are committed to doing our part. We will stay home. We will hunker down. We will do what we are supposed to do. And while we are in our homes, we are praying for the health and the well-being of our neighbors. We are working hard to ensure that people will not go hungry in this wilderness. We are anxiously watching the stock market. We're hoping that this incredible and unbelievable dip is not the beginning of a long-lasting economic depression. We are afraid, and yet we are trying to have faith, trusting that these dried up bones will somehow snap back into motion, and that in the end, we'll be able to get back to those rhythms of life that we had grown to love, that were so comfortable to many of us. But the more we wait in our isolation, the more we work from home and limit our connections to those digital interactions, the more we might come to realize that although the bones may eventually rattle their ways back together, life will never be the same again. For some of us, that statement might be incredibly scary. There's so much for us to grieve as we watch the pieces of our old lives pass away. Like the Israelites mourning the loss of their temple, their community, their homeland, we are mourning our losses as well. There is so much to grieve. But I wonder if today we might find a little bit of hope in Ezekiel's vision. Once those bones start snapping back together, Scripture says that there was no breath in them. It may have looked like resurrection when the bones began to fit back together, but it wasn't quite yet. The Lord tells Ezekiel to summon Ruach, translated breath and wind and spirit, the same word in Hebrew. God tells Ezekiel to summon the wind, and the breath of God will blow into the bones, and they will live again. Sure enough, the faithful prophet does as he is told, and the wind does come. The word Ruach would have meant something to the Hebrew people. It would have been familiar to those who knew their scriptures, and for us, it should probably be familiar too. It's the Hebrew word for wind and for breath and for spirit, and all of those words show up in our sacred texts. In fact, our Bibles begin with the wind of God. If you remember the very beginning, when God begins to create the earth, the wind hovers over the chaos. When the earth was formless and void, when God began creating, the wind of God swept over the waters. Genesis 1 reminds us. And that same spirit, that same wind, that breath of God guides the prophet here from exile into the valley of dry bones. And now she comes again, Ruach, wind, breath of God, sweeping in and breathing life into old, dead, dried up bones. In the New Testament, the same spirit fills the lungs of Jesus of Nazareth and anoints him to release the captives, to liberate the oppressed, to change the world. And then it will be the same spirit that will breathe upon the frightened and gathered church on Pentecost, anointing them with new language for a new world. You see, this wind of God, this spirit breath, it seems to always be blowing just when death seems certain. And when it comes, dead bodies and old bones and dried up systems and broken down rhythms, they all experience resurrection. It's a word of hope. It's a word of hope for all who find ourselves in the midst of a valley of bones. And it's also a word of caution. It's a word of caution for all who imagine that resurrection is limited to putting back the pieces exactly the way they were before. Resurrection doesn't look like bones snapped back into place. It's not the economy starting back up. It's not business as usual after a brief moment of pause. Resurrection is new life. Resurrection is unlike anything we knew before, but filled with hope for all that is to come. So as we sit here amidst our Lenten wilderness, we ask the question, can these bones live? And as we ask the question, I wonder if we might be prematurely rushing to our own understanding of resurrection. I wonder if we might be prematurely rushing to resurrection in hopes that everything might just get back to normal. And if that is our hope, it might do us some good to stay and sit a little while in this wilderness. Because when we do that, we recognize that when the Spirit does blow once again, new life will come and nothing will ever be the same again. Easter's coming, but it's not here yet. Let's pray. Oh God, we wait here amongst the bones. We wait here tempted to rush to resurrection, and yet knowing that this wilderness isn't quite through with us yet. And so we wait with faith that you are working amongst the bones as they rattle their way back together. We wait with hope that your Holy Spirit, breath of life, wind of resurrection, will once again restore us to the fullness of life. Oh God, we believe that Easter is coming, and yet we know that it isn't quite here yet. Be with us while we wait. Prepare us for whatever may come and guide us every step between here and there. In the name of Jesus, who is our resurrection hope, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. We are so delighted that you would join us for our online service in this time of coronavirus. Even though we are not physically gathering at 7509 Lead Mine Road, we are still the Church of Jesus Christ and a church called Greystone Baptist. So in that end, we are still ministering and serving, and I hope that you will find a way to be connected even now to that ministry. One of the ways you can be connected is to pray for each other. On Friday, you should have received our current prayer list, and I hope that you will look at that prayer list and remember the needs of those in our community. If you have a prayer request, there is a form on that email that you can submit to us so that we will know how to best pray for you. If you can't find that link or that form, then please feel free to send us an email or call the church office. We are still checking our voicemails. We know that one of the important parts of worship is giving an offering. And so Greystone has a way for you to give online. If you go to our website, you can set up your online portal to give your contributions online. If you need help with setting up your online portal for giving, please send us an email or call the church office and we'll make sure that someone gets in touch with you to walk you through that process. Thank you for your gifts to Greystone. Our children are meeting on Mondays and Thursdays, so if you know of a child who would like to have story time or would like to play games, please contact Pastor April for the links to those Zoom calls. Our youth are meeting on Sundays and Wednesdays, and I know that my son, who is a member of the youth group, is just delighted to be able to continue that sense of community and fellowship with his peers. So if you know of a youth or a child who would like to participate in those events, please contact Pastor April. You can also sign up for Pastor Chrissy's Monday midday Bible study, and you can look at our different links and emails that come out throughout the week for that information. You should also know that our committees are still meeting, as particularly our minister search team for the Minister of Worship and the Arts is meeting and is right on track. They are on schedule and will be posting very soon a job listing for that position. When you see that job listing come up on the church's Facebook page or the website, share it, because we want to cast a wide net and understand best who God is leading to us and who we are being led to as we consider the future of Greystone and worship in this space. Please pray for that search team. It's important work that they're doing, and we are very grateful for them. There are many ways to stay connected. I encourage you to call your neighbors, to wave hello, to check in on each other, send a note, make a phone call, send an email. Let's remember that even though we are not physically together, we are still connected by the Spirit of God. Grace and peace to you.
Sisters and brothers in Christ, we go back to our lives. Hopefully we go back restored and renewed in hope for a bright future, which does lie ahead. Easter is indeed coming. But as you go back to your lives, as you wait with the rest of us, let us go forth with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be upon you, giving you the grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and walk with them. May God take your hands and heal through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.